Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, is this Kenneth?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were already on the line. How are you?
It's okay. I was hiding.
I hope that this is a good time. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I was so excited we could connect.
Not a problem, man. I honestly appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, this. Well, you've done some pretty incredible things. I was so excited to see about the bench press world record. Just a little bit about me. I also own a gym. And so I've done some competing very briefly in figure competition. So I was very much excited for that, to see that you went to the Olympia and did that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can never do the dieting for figure or bodybuilding or classic physique, and other than that, I eat too much.
It is very hard. Well, as you should. That's great. Yeah. And then, so I've read a little bit about your story as well. Josh sent me a couple of articles, and so I wanted to go in a bit of chronological order, if that's okay with you, and start with, you know, when you were growing up, really, that struck me, your life growing up in Orlando and how you ultimately came to join the Air Force.
Yes, ma'am.
So describe that to me, what that was like, and then when the military became something that you considered something you wanted to do.
Okay. I'll just start from the beginning then. Growing up in a single-parent household, you know, I was raised by my mom, and had two sisters, of course, stepbrothers and stepsisters as well, which are a big part of my life. But my mom pretty much did her best to raise us raise her three kids, you know, in the area that we were living in. It was Winter Park, Florida. And, you know, at one point she was working, you know, three jobs to take care of us. And I can say that my first acknowledgement of what, you know, strength was, you know, it wasn't even a physical sense, it was a mental strength. Seeing my mom, you know, doing everything that she could to take care of us, and not once did she complain about, you know, the situation that she was in. Not once did she complain about, you know, what she had to do to feed us and, you know, put food on the table. So that was my first interaction with, you know, what strength was, and I kind of learned from that. Growing up, you know, just in the area that I did, you know, a lot of people, they turn to, you know, crime as a way to make money. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the easiest way, you know, and when you're stuck in an area like that, it's easy for you to pick up on it. It's real easy for you to want to be like those dudes with all the money and the cars and, you know, everything that you see on TV. You want that. You want to be, you know, the rapper with the gold teeth. And, you know, we idolized, you know, drug dealers, we idolize criminals. You know, Scarface was, you know, a big time, you know, movie down there in Florida, you know, when it came out. And we always wanted to be that dude, to be that guy, to come from nothing and, you know, end up at the top of the world. And we didn't see it as doing it in a, you know, in a positive way. We felt like the easier way to get it was taking it from the next man. And that wound up getting me in a lot of trouble, you know, juvenile detention, detention halls. I was arrested a lot. I got into a lot of trouble that I put myself in, and it was just me trying to be like everybody else, me not finding my path, me not knowing who I really was. And, you know, a lot of times people say it's because, you know, your parents didn't raise you right, this, that, and above. And I can honestly say my mom, she did her damnedest. She did her best, you know, and she instilled morals and values into me. It's just the fact that I felt like instead of her using her money that she works hard for, working two, three jobs, she didn't need to spend it on me. If I could go out there and get it myself, then that's what I was going to do. And with me having sisters, then, you know, I had to defend them by any means, even though I'm the youngest of the three. I kind of took on that, the man role, I guess. And I did everything that I could just to protect them, man. A lot of times it wound up getting me in trouble. And I didn't really have a lot of anger, but a lot of the instances that I had growing up, you know, I used it as reasons for me to, you know, to act out. One of the big things that caught me up was My mom, she worked at McDonald's a large majority of my life. And one of the teachers, when we were in class, she used to always say, well, if you don't pay attention to school, you're going to wind up working at McDonald's flipping burgers. And to me, that I took that as an insult because my mom was one of the strongest people I ever knew in my life. So every time she said that, you know, it kind of broke my heart because it made me feel like my mom wasn't, you know, nothing compared to the rest of the world. So I felt like if I can do what I could to take all the pressure off of her, then you know, then she wouldn't have to stress and worry about me as much as she did. And unfortunately, it wound up, you know, backtracking and wound up hurting me more than it helped me. And I can say the last time I went to jail in Florida, I was fortunate enough to meet a positive person, one of the guards, who taught me, you know, what being a man was all about. And he discussed with me about the military. He talked to me about, you know, growing up and, you know, using the positive people in your life and, you know, trying to discard all the negative people. Because, like I said it before, but misery loves company. And a lot of the guys I grew up with, misery is all they knew. And criminal acts was all they knew. So, of course, that's what they're going to lean on. And I realized I wasn't the only one that was going through what I went through, and I was doing a lot of things just for respect and just to get seen by the next person. And I had a lot of good people growing up with me, a lot of positive role models that tried to lead me on the straight and narrow. I was in a program growing up called Esteem, and one of the women there who worked there, Sabrina Collins, she used to talk to me every day, you know, and just try to keep me out of trouble. And, you know, she did the best she could, but I was still making my own decisions growing up. But when I went to jail for that last time, I knew, and he talked to me about the military. He talked to me about the Marines and the Army and the Navy and the Air Force. And I knew that I had to change my life because I seen I was killing my mom every time she had to hear about me being locked up or hear about a shooting. And she know that I could have been involved or anything like that. And I had to change my life. So when the Air Force, you know, gave me the opportunity to sign up, and, you know, and they realized I wasn't a bad person. I didn't have any serious charges and everything like that. They allowed me to join, and ever since then, I've been trying to excel in any way that I could. In the 13 years that I've been in the military, I could say I've won so many awards, and I've never been in trouble, not once. And I'm extremely grateful for, you know, just the people that Air Force has put in my life, not just, you know, not just leadership, but my peers and my family and the people who I call my family. Like, I always believe that, you know, blood makes you related, but loyalty makes you family. And I met some amazing people that I would have never met if it wasn't for the military. And just each base that I've been at, I've had the opportunity to meet great people, just amazing people. And I realized that I wasn't the only one who grew up the way I did. Just, you know, a lot, like in life, everybody has to be resilient at some way, at some point in their life. And the Air Force, you know, we kind of lean on that now. We have had a lot of suicides and this, that, and above in the military for, you know, a long time. And we got to find our own outlets. And being able to talk to somebody who you never met before and bond with them and express yourself and build that, you know, that camaraderie, that's an outlet. You know, and it helps out in so many ways, man. Just being able to talk to somebody who grew up like you or grew up differently than you, but, you know, they understand. Sometimes all you need is an ear, and it's been awesome. It's honestly been, I've been grateful for everything that, you know, has happened in the past 13 years. I met great people. It's amazing. Like, I would have never thought that I would be here in my life. And yeah.
That's amazing. And if I'm correct in making this assumption, is that also how you met your wife?
Yeah, it is. I met her at my first base in Iraq. The day I got back from Iraq, she was staring at me, and I asked my friend what was she staring at. I asked my friend what she was staring at, and come to find out later, she was staring at me because she had just texted her best friend and said, hey, I just found my future husband. And I was like, oh, that's kind of stalkerish. That's kind of crazy. But she got what she wanted. She got what she wanted. So, you know,
that's
it was
amazing.
Yeah, man, it all comes full circle, man, and I'm grateful. I have two sons, two beautiful sons. One that's four and one that's one. I think the 1 year old. Yeah, he's pro Taliban, but he's a terrorist. But he beats up his
that's
big brother.
Incredible.
Yeah, but I'm grateful.
Aww.
I'm truly grateful.
That's amazing. How would you describe your job as boom operator to people who might not be familiar?
So
I'm vaguely familiar, but like to the average civilian who probably has no knowledge of this, how do you describe your job?
So my job is a boom operator, also known as a in-flight refueler. We refuel aircrafts in the air. A lot of the aircrafts that we refuel, just like fighters or bombers or whatever it may be, we refuel them so they can get to wherever they need to go. When they're doing training missions and they're up there for hours and hours, we're pretty much a mobile gas station in the air, so they could come up, get the gas they need, and then just continue their training or continue the mission. You see a lot of times in the movies, you know, another plane pulls up 28 feet away from another aircraft flying right up under each other in the air, and then we connect to them. We give them the gas that they need, and then they go about and continue their mission, whatever it may be at that time.
And from what I've read, you've been on quite a few. You've done this many, many times.
Yes, I have. I always tell my friends about it. With me being a prior security forces, I was military police as well. I have over 101 convoy missions, and I have over 110 combat flying missions in the air. So it's good to tell my family about that. So yeah. So I got
incredible. Wow. So now let's segue a little bit into what I imagine is probably part of your everyday, which is going to the gym and lifting weights. When did you start, and when did you know that that was something you might want to pursue competitively?
So I started lifting weights when I joined the military back in 2006. I got to my first base, Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii, and there was a tech sergeant who I now call my big brother, my mentor, somebody who I love very much. And he was well known around base. He was probably like 5'6", 220 pounds. He just looked like a walking tree stump. And everybody knew his name. Everybody, you know, loved him. And what made it so amazing is, you know, he was so strong, but he was such a humble guy. And you never saw him get mad. And I got the opportunity to work up under him, and because we looked alike, everybody was calling me his little brother. So because of that, he took me up under his wing in the gym, and he started just teaching me the basics. And I didn't, you know, I was just lifting weights because, you know, that's the manly thing to do in the military. You know, you you come to the military, you get strong, you get big, you get faster. And I can honestly say that I'm grateful, because when you come into the military, everybody is striving for greatness. Everybody wants to be stronger. Everybody wants to be, you know, more agile. And, you know, grateful, you know, I'm grateful that the Air Force, you know, they push towards that. They push towards fitness. You know, when you think about the Air Force, you think Chair Force, a whole bunch of nerds and with glasses, pushing up the glasses and this. But I guarantee you could go to any Air Force base and you can find 10 to 20 to 30 to 40, you know, athletes that are amazing, amazing at what they do, whether it's, you know, swimming, you know, marathon running, lifting weights. And, you know, when I was in Hawaii, you know, I got introduced to lifting weights, and I didn't really take it serious. I was just doing it, you know, because I thought, you know, that's what everybody does. Everybody wants to stay in shape,
yeah.
So I must stay in shape as well. It wasn't until I got to Travis Air Force Base around 2013 that I was lifting weights in the gym, in the base gym, and two women walked up to me who were powerlifters, and they were like, "Hey, you're pretty strong, but your form is horrible." And I was like, "Well, thank you." I was like, "Well, thank
That's
you
great.
Very much." I was like, "Thank you very much.
Right.
Can you teach me?" And they, you know, just went over, you know, just the basics about technique, and, you know, that lifting weights, when it comes to competition, the powerlifting is more about just picking up a heavy weight, putting it down, or this, that, above. It's technique. It's everything that you put into it. It's the preparation. It's your form, your setup. Mm-hmm. It's everything. The lift is just a small component of what you're going to do. So when they told me about it, I was like, all right, cool. So they were like, do you want to do a competition? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's just do it, see what happens. And I signed up for my first competition at Old School Iron in Vacaville. And when I went there, you know, it was crazy because nobody knew me there, nobody at all. But every time that I touched the platform, you know, everybody in the building was cheering, and that's how it was for every lifter. And I realized that in powerlifting, like, everybody cheers for everybody, whether it's you're going against them or not. Like, everybody's cheering for everybody because everybody wants to see you reach that, you know, reach your PR, hit that goal, you know, hit that top weight. And I wound up coming in second because I really didn't know what I was doing. You know, it's a lot of commands that you have to follow when you're doing powerlifting. You know, you got to listen to the up command, the rack command, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just so nervous that I wound up, you know, selling myself short. And I believe I only lifted 402 pounds or 418, one of those. But I placed second, but I saw that as a win. I was grateful because I did my first competition, and out of, I believe, 110 lifters all total, I believe 10 competed in my category, and I came in second at my first competition.
That's
and
great, yeah.
Then I was humbled because I was like, all right, this is just the beginning. And ever since then, 2014, I've been eating weights, and that's what I know now. So, and each time that I touch a platform, I've been, you know, humbled and grateful that ever since then, every comp that I've done, I've placed first. But I can say that's because of the people around me. Everything that I learned, it's because of the people around me. And, you know, the funny thing is when you think about, you know, the military, you think about, you know, cardio, distance running, and, you know, being in shape. You don't really think about, you know, powerlifting and lifting weights. But, you know, they idolize that, not because, you know, you're lifting this crazy amount of weight. That's part of it, but it's because they see you're dedicated. So when you're dedicated to, you know, bettering yourself, you know, I can honestly say that every commander that I had here at Travis Air Force Base, every supervisor, every superintendent that I had, you know, they pushed me towards, you know, striving to reach my goal. And I didn't expect that. I honestly didn't expect that, you know, my leadership would be behind me as much as they did. But they pushed me so much towards it. Like, I'm like, hey, sir, I'm about to leave and go to the gym. Can I do it? Yeah, go ahead. Go break another record. And I'm like, hey, all right, I'm going to do it for you. You know, and they backed me up every single time, and it's just amazing. And the support that I get around the base, just from, like, just the base, this is a huge base. We got, what, 4,000-plus people, and, like, I feel like a celebrity when I walk around now. And it's funny because I consider myself a good person, but when you hear people say that they look up to you and they idolize you for, you know, you just doing what you love, it's amazing. It's such a humbling feeling because me, I'm just lifting weights, but, you know, it's everything that goes behind lifting weights, taking the time to help out the next person. And, you know, when you're on base, you know, you see people staring at you, you know, they're not staring because, you know, they're hoping you don't get it. They're hoping you do get it just so they could come talk to you about how can they improve themselves. And that's what I love about the camaraderie of, you know, just not just the airmen on base, but everywhere I go, man, it's just amazing. I'm so humbled and I'm grateful to be around the people that I've been around because when I grew up, it wasn't like this. Everybody ate everybody. It was snakes. It was crabs in a bucket. So trying to change my mindset from, you know, having to be on guard 24/7 to everybody wants to see you good, it's like it's night and day. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's, and you already made some similarities in, you know, how your service, how that's reflected in how you might approach weightlifting and vice versa. There's an immense amount of dedication and sacrifice required for both.
It is, definitely is.
That's incredible. So now that you've set some pretty outstanding records, what's your next goal? What's the next thing on your mind? Are you training for something in particular now or just maintaining?
So last week I just set another California record in another weight class. I went up in a weight class just to see if I can, you know, set another California record, and I actually did. So now that I did that, it's I wanna set as many records as I can, but at the same time, I'm not focused on setting records. I wanna continue to grow. I wanna continue to be strong. I wanna continue to stay healthy. But at the same time, it's like I get more pride from people saying, you know, and people wanting to learn from me. Like, I turn around and people actually want to follow me. People want to learn and hear what I got to say about it. Like, that's what makes me smile. Yeah, when you break a record and you lift weights, you know, people cheer for you. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. But it's the people, like, the smiles. When you look into the crowd and people, you know, want to put you on a pedestal and talk to you about lifting weights, you know, and want to learn from you, that's the most gratifying feeling. That's what, you know, motivates me and pushes me. I'm not going to say anybody can break a record, but at the same time, a lot of people, they accomplish a lot of good things every day. But it's when you turn around and you see people wanting to follow you, you see people wanting to learn from you. That's the amazing thing. I'm not getting, you know, rich from this at all, you know, but at the same time, I'm getting rich with, you know, friendships. I'm building my fortune from the people around me. Like, I can't really explain it. Like, it's just so humbling. It's extremely humbling when you see people back you and support you and talk about you and point you out because you're doing something you love and you're doing it the right way. And like, it's just when you reference it back to being home, like, I was doing everything the wrong way just for recognition, you know, just to get that respect. But a lot of times I was getting fear, you know, but I'm doing things the right way and I'm actually leaving something, a legacy for my sons, you know, and that's my biggest goal. And that's what I want them to see, whether they lift weights or do underwater basket weaving. It doesn't matter. I just want them to see that their dad strived for something, he fought for something, and he did it. And whether this record or last day, a month, a year, 10 years, whatever it may, however long it may last, whether I set another one or not, I set a record for my family. I did something for my sons, and my name's in the books. So 10 years from now or 20 years from now, when my kids are talking about me, you know, hopefully they got you know, positive things to say about me. And that's all I care about.
That's incredible. I genuinely can sense it. And it's pretty ironic in life how when we start just following our passions for the right reasons, all those things that we kind of want end up coming right back to us. And I'm so happy for you that that's happening. And those are some incredible records. So especially for your family, I think that's wonderful. And it's such an honor to be able to tell your story. I think people are really going to love it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I'm out of curiosity, what was the record you recently set last week? What weight class did you lift?
I went up to the 110 kilogram weight class. That's the 220 to 242 weight class. And I wound up weighing in at, I think, like 224, just so I could compete.
Oh, so the lower end, yeah.
Yeah, I wound up weighing like 224, and then I think the record was 524, and I set it at 556.
Dang, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's an immense accomplishment, and I'll have to find you on social media and give you a follow as well so I can keep up.
Yes, ma'am. Project Savage.
Awesome. Yes, good. I will put that in there as well. I really appreciate your time, and I know that it's really valuable, so thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks for taking the time to even interview me. I'm truly grateful.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for your service as well.
Yeah, you're worth it.